Hi everyone, I'm Israel Smith and this is Illuminating Lives. Welcome back to your podcast, listener. It's Israel Smith, your host, and this is Illuminating Lives. Here's where we talk about brightening up our own life, shining our gifts, being our best self, and then taking that into the arenas that we love and care about the most, whether that's our family, our work, our personal time, or even some greater caused-based mission that you feel compelled to pursue. Wow, I'm fumbling already and I'm about 30 seconds in. Today, I want to talk about the power of unplugging, and I want to talk about the gift of white space or empty space. Empty space, I think, is probably the better call. Why do I want to talk about this? Well, it's come up a couple of times with some clients. It's come up in my own life. It's come up in my family. And I just think it's a really important time or moment to pause and reflect on these concepts. So first of all, the empty space idea. What is it? To me, empty space is when we have nothing planned, we have no jobs to do, no chores, no schedule, no appointments. And, you know, it's just that gift of like empty space in our calendar, in our day, in our list of responsibilities that each of us carry all the time. And it gives us the opportunity to do whatever we want, to be spontaneous, to rest, to be bored, to let our mind wander, to be creative, to do all number of things, right? But essentially what I mean is empty space is when we just don't have anything planned or scheduled or booked. So this is important for a few reasons. And it actually parallels really closely with the idea of unplugging. And unplugging, to me, that's just kind of a slang expression I use in our house about getting off devices, getting stuff out of our ears, listening to the world and participating in conversations, just kind of unplugging from the matrix that is our digital, wired, connected all the time kind of life that we're part of. These things are critical. They're critical for a few reasons. Number one, there's an enormous body of research that tells us that boredom or letting our mind wander is really, really powerful and healthy for our brain. It actually helps us, I guess, in a way, take out the garbage. It helps our brain draw new and interesting connections. It helps us recover from certain things. It helps us reflect on our life. It gives us kind of a bit of perspective. Lets us recharge and lets us kind of take a step back and consider a different perspective or a slightly bigger picture. I think it's pretty obvious why that can be so powerful. To me, unplugging offers a lot of the same benefits. I'm just kind of thinking in my head that a lot of the time we let me phrase this a different way. Sorry, I'm thinking as I go here. It's not healthy for us to force feed ourselves food or drink. We know this, right? It's bad for our bodies. It's bad for our brains. It makes us feel bleh. If we force feed ourselves, if we keep shoveling in food, it's kind of like what you get on, on like Christmas afternoon. You know, you've had the massive Christmas lunch with all the family members. There's just more food than anyone knows what to do with. If you've been to one of my family gatherings, certainly that's the case. And you're kind of feeling a little bit sluggish and a bit comatose, and then someone brings out dessert and you're like, oh, I'm so full, but that just looks so delicious, and hey, it's Christmas, so bugger it. I'm just going to, you know, keep chowing down. The consequences of that are pretty obvious. We tend to feel a bit sluggish, a bit doughy in the head. We tend to feel very full, very bloated, very unwell in our body. we kind of feel like we just need a nap to kind of sleep it off all the time. But have you ever considered what happens to our brain if we are constantly force-feeding information into our brain, right? And information can take many forms: books, podcasts, newspapers, social media, videos, TV shows, advertising. You know, we are bombarded more than at any other time in human history with information. And imagine what that's doing to our brain. If you draw the same analogy of the food conversation, if we're force-feeding ourselves food, what happens if we are constantly stuffing ourselves with information? What do you think would that do to our brain? To me, my experience personally is that it makes me feel less certain. I can go on big downward spirals into existential crisis. I can feel more anxious and more depressed. I can feel really scatterbrained. I can feel overwhelmed, and I can feel like I don't have a clear handle on me, on what I am here for, or who I'm meant to be. This is a real risk, right? This is a real present and very notable risk with where we are in society right now, and particularly everyone who's kind of come off the back of, you know, a couple of years of COVID craziness and all of the other challenges. I mean, in Australia, it's been an amazing dance between fires and floods and lockdowns, and now we're seemingly ongoing, but there's this impending cost of living crisis, and there's all of the stuff going on overseas, and then there's all of the stuff going on in your own local area, and you know, the media is kind of even more focused on stuff that's going to make you scared or outraged. I think at some point we need to say enough is enough and take a break and unplug. We need to reconnect with actual humans. We need to reconnect with actual nature. And there's an amazing book all about this, actually, which is by a brilliant British guy called Johan Hari, called Lost Connections. It's actually about the real kind of causes underneath depression and anxiety and what you can do about it. And his research and conversations with hundreds, literally hundreds of experts around the world, has caused him to identify that there are 9 causes, primary causes of depression, and 7 of them, I think, are actually about losing connection with something or some kind of experience. Anyway, bottom line, we've just got to unplug. We need to unplug on the regular so that we can let our brain wander, so that we can just let ourselves digest and process where we are in our life and what's been happening to us, and, you know, how many of the things that we get force-fed through the media do we really need to concern ourselves with, you know? And I guess this kind of, to me, like as you've heard me think my way through this podcast episode, the term unplug and the term empty space kind of go hand in hand, right? Every time we find ourselves with a few spare minutes, if you're being really honest, how often do you just sit and look around and just let your mind wander and let yourself think or reflect or just be still? How often do you do that? As opposed to how often do you grab your phone and start listening to something or start watching something, start scrolling something, start reading something? I know for me, I reach for my phone more than I want to, and I'm working on that. And I see in my kids behaviors where they reach for their devices far more than I want them to at their age, because their brains are so malleable and so subject to long-term impacts by being raised in this kind of always on, you know, force-fed media kind of environment. So creating empty space, unplugging from the matrix, is like a survival skill in a way, and also it's like a foundational self-care skill to me, in my belief, in my estimation, you know, it's really important to our overall mental, emotional, spiritual health and physical health to just unplug, to get off our screens, off our devices, to take stuff out of our ears and to just let ourselves be present and be in nature and be still and be bored. Because that's where all the good stuff starts to bubble up. You may have heard me say in the past, we have muses, we have these little inner wisdoms, but they speak very softly. And if we're too loud or if there's too much noise in our life, and hilariously, as I record this, literally my next door neighbor is going mental with a chainsaw and there's a whole bunch of noise in the background. But as we quieten ourselves down, we can begin to hear our inner wisdom. We can hear those clues as to maybe what our heart is trying to say to us. So empty space can appear or can be created in a number of different ways, right? It might mean that one day or 2 days a week during work time, you just block out and have no time for appointments. And if you run your own business, I highly encourage you to do this. If you're a manager, I also highly encourage you to do this. If you are a regular employee, I also encourage you to do this because having that empty space means you can get focused work done. It means you can concentrate. It means you can start to draw connections and insights and innovations from different things. But it also just means that the pressure kind of dials back a little bit. You know, it means that you don't have to feel like you're always on, always racing, always sprinting. The other beautiful thing is that it gives us time and space and energy for the unplanned and the unexpected. Say a friend suddenly turns up in town, you go, oh, hey, let's catch up. Let's go have dinner. Or let's grab a quick coffee or hang out for a few hours, you know, without our schedule fully jammed all the time. Those sorts of things never happen. What about empty space in the evenings? Do you always have things that you are learning, things that you are working on? Something I coach a lot of my clients on is just how to slow down and take commitments off your plate so that we have time for the things that we truly want to prioritize, like our family, like reading a book, like just having that empty sense of no pressure and no expectation to be somewhere, to be doing something. It's not always easy, all right? Creating space like this, creating empty space, unplugging from the matrix, it often brings up challenging or unwelcome feelings, emotions in us. And this is because we are conditioned through often many years of operating in a particular way to always be on, to always be thinking, processing, force-feeding ourselves information, to always be planned, to always have stuff scheduled, you know, to have a calendar that literally has blocks of time throughout it. Some of these unwelcome feelings, I should say, are things like fear. I'm afraid. I feel nervous or anxious about taking this time, about blocking out time, or about leaving things unplanned, about having nothing to do, nowhere to be. That can bring up anxiety. It can bring up guilt. Often people will feel guilty about not being productive, not doing, not taking action, not in motion. When I reflect on my dad's life, I think it took him until he retired, and even then it was a bit of a near thing, to actually feel like he could just slow down and he didn't have to have everything planned all the time. He didn't have to always be in motion. He was just allowed to sit and be. And I've seen that in myself at various seasons of my life, that I've been so conditioned to be constantly in motion and constantly doing things that it's actually been very unfamiliar and feels or has felt very awkward or very weird All right. Often guilt comes from a sense of I should be doing something. I should be in action, in motion, you know, to which I would say stop shoulding all over yourself. A few of my clients have heard that one and quite enjoyed it. There's another feeling that tends to show up, which is FOMO. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on something, or I'm afraid I am not going to fit everything in before I die. I used to have that problem massively. I used to have that, well, not that problem, that feeling, that experience when I would unplan things, when I would leave empty space and unplug. I used to have this feeling of like, oh my God, I've got to keep sprinting because otherwise I'm going to die with my music still in me. I'm going to not have lived and extracted every single ounce of achievement out of my experience on the planet. And then once I realized that, in fact, it was quite okay and, in fact, necessary for me to love who I was regardless of my achievements, then that whole thing opened up and shifted. But something else I want you to consider too is that as we begin to lean into this practice of unplugging and of creating empty space in our weeks, our days, our evenings, our mornings, our lunchtimes, our weekends, as we find that empty space, as we take out the earbuds, as we put down the laptop or the phone or the tablet or turn off the TV, we can start to experience some welcome feelings. And they don't always show up immediately. Sometimes we've got a bit of unlearning to do before we can really be receptive to new experiences around this. We have to get past all the guilt or the shame or the fear or the anxiety or the FOMO or the whatever else. But the sorts of things that can show up, the welcome feelings, see if these appeal to you. Calm. Peace. Excitement. Creativity. Joy. Inspiration. Like these kinds of things turn up when we give them the opportunity to. When we let our kids be bored for a while, they create fun things to do. When we let ourselves be bored for a while, we create ideas, new projects, new neural connections between otherwise disconnected concepts or events. It's essential. I've actually begun a practice in my business of blocking out Fridays and taking the day off. So I'm literally only available for work Monday to Thursday. Now I'm doing a 4-day work week, and on Friday I leave the day empty. It is empty space. In fact, I've got it blocked out with a solid chunk in my calendar, but that's so that nothing else from my automated event systems drops in there. But the scheduling aside, that day, Friday for me, is a day for me. No plans. All right. I might go down the beach and spend 4 hours at the beach. I might go down the beach for an hour and then come home and read a book for a while or listen to some music. Or a big project, a passion project I've taken on recently, is making timber surfboards, making hollow timber surfboards that I will then subsequently ride. And so I've been doing work in the shed and buying tools and equipment and materials and getting myself geared up for that. Stay tuned. I will let you know as soon as I have progress pictures. But the joy and the sense of comfort that has come from the last 3 or 4 Fridays that I've blocked out and left as days off, unplanned, unscheduled, just for me, it's been profound. It has become something I massively look forward to, and it has become an incredibly crucial part of my week. It's like my dessert at the end of dinner. I am way more focused Monday to Thursday, because I know that I have Friday for me, and I know that I'm not allowed to work on that day, or I play the game, I'm not allowed to work on that day. I occasionally make exceptions for that rule, but again, it's a choice. So if I can try and draw this rambling mess of ideas together and reflect it to you in a way that gives you something really concrete and really beautiful to chunk and hold on to and implement in your life. Number one, how often are you plugged in to the matrix? How often are you reaching for a device or listening to something or multitasking with a podcast or just kind of force feeding yourself media, data, information? How often are you doing that? And do you think that your patterns of behavior around that are serving you? And I make no judgment here. I just want you to reflect on this. My guess is they may not be, because I think broadly speaking as a society, we have a whole range of unhealthy habits around this at the moment. But I'm just asking for your input on yourself, for you to do some self-reflection. How do you think your patterns of behavior are serving you when it comes to how often you are plugged in or jacked in or, you know, in cyberspace, on the internet? Second thing, how much of your days, weeks, weekends, months are currently scheduled and planned? How much empty space do you have in your schedule each day or each week? Is there any? Do you give yourself unplanned downtime at all? Or is every spare hour or every spare minute allocated to a specific task with a specific achievement, with a specific outcome that you have to go for? Take a think about that, reflect on that, and consider that you have one life. No one gets out of here alive. We are all going to die one day. We are all going to end up either 6 feet underground or with a fire under us and become a puff of smoke in the sky, right? How you choose to live your life is your choice. You get to decide. You get to choose. How do you want to experience the world? Do you want more joy, more inspiration, more creativity, more delight, more spontaneity, more peace, more calm? If so, then I really, really encourage you to reflect on these ideas of unplugging and creating empty space in your schedule. And as you do that, listen for the whispers, listen for the insights, listen for the inspirations, and enjoy. Let me know how you go. I would really dearly love to hear what your thoughts are. And thank you again for being here. Thank you for listening. Have a great day wherever you are. Create some of that empty space, unplug, and I will see you soon. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Illuminating Lives podcast. Please help me reach more people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones and leaving me a great 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Remember, I work as a 1-to-1 coach and professional speaker, helping dads in business and leadership find more peace, feel less stress, and be the best parent, husband, and leader they can be. If you'd like to work with me or have me present to your organization, please contact me via my website or social media. All the links are in the show notes. Until next time, may you be free. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be loved. And may you live with ease.